Welcome to Tairat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rivka Simonson, and today we will be studying Yehoshua Perek Yud Beis, Chapter 12. This chapter lists all the land that Moshe and Yehoshua conquered. The text also mentions the two kings that were defeated by Moshe, Sichon, king of the Amori, and Og, king of Bashan. And then it lists the 31 Canaanite kings defeated by Yehoshua. Verse 1, Ve'ele malchei ha'aretz asher hiku v'nei Yisrael v'yirshu es artzom. And these are the kings of the land whom the children of Yisrael smote and possessed their land. Be'eder ha'yardein mizracho ha'shomesh. On the other side of the Yardin, toward the rising of the sun. Minachal Arnon ad Har Chermain, from the river Arnon to Mount Chermain, v'chol ha'arava mizracho, and all the plain on the east. Rashi clarifies, these are the kings that were defeated in the time of Moshe. Two verses are then dedicated to describing the area ruled by Sichon, who was defeated by Moshe, and this is then followed by two verses outlining the land ruled by Og, who was also defeated by Moshe. Sichon melech ha'emayri ha'yoshev b'cheshbon. Sichon, king of the Emayri, Amorites, who dwelt in Cheshbon. Moshel me'aroi eir asher al svas nachal arnoin v'soich ha'nachal v'chatzi ha'gilad, and ruled from Aroi Eir, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the middle of the river, and over half Gilad. V'ad Yaboik ha'nachal govul b'nei Amon, and to the river Yaboik, which is the border of the children of Amon. V'ho'arova ad yom kinrois mizracho, and the plain to the sea of Kinrois on the east, v'ad yom ha'arova yom ha'melach mizracho, and to the sea of the plain, the salt sea on the east, derech beis ha'yishimais, the way to beis ha'yishimais, umitemon tachas ashdois ha'pisgo, and from the south, under the falls of Pisgah, u'gvul oig melech ha'boshan, mi'yeser Miyeser harufoim hayoshev b'ashtarais uver ed rei, and the border of Og, king of Bashan, of the remnant of the giants who dwelt at Ashtarot and at Edrei. Umayshel bahar Chermon, uver Salcha uver chol haBashan, and reigned in Mount Chermon, and in Salcha and in all Bashan, ad gavul haGashuri v'hamaachosi, to the border of the Gashuri and the Ma'achosi, v'chatzi ha'gilad, gavul Sichon melech Cheshbon, and half Gilad, the border of Sichon, king of Cheshbon. Verse 6, Moshe eved Hashem uvnei Yisrael hikum. Moshe, the servant of Hashem, and the children of Yisrael smote them. Vayitna Moshe eved Hashem Yerusha, la'ra'uveni v'la'godi v'la'chatzi shevet ha'manasheh. And Moshe, the servant of Hashem, gave it for an inheritance to the Reuvenites, the tribe of Reuven, and to the Gadites, the tribe of Gad, and to half the tribe of Manasseh. In chapter 1, we studied some interpretations on the title Eved Hashem, servant of Hashem, that Moshe was honored with. We mentioned the explanation by Radak that a person is called an Eved Hashem when he is focused toward Hashem in everything he is involved with, even when busy with worldly matters. Such a person is intent on serving Hashem. Here too, we see this appellation associated with Moshe twice. As we mentioned in chapter 1, Shevet Reuven, Shevet Gad, and half of Shevet Manasseh requested to take land on the east bank of the Yardin as their possession. Moshe stipulated that whilst they could settle there, their inheritance of that portion would be on condition that they fight the battles with the rest of Bnei Yisrael when entering the promised land. Malbim on this verse in Yehoshua points out that Moshe is referenced as Eved Hashem in conjunction with his giving this portion of land to these Shevatim tribes, because it shows that he did this in accordance with Hashem's will. Even though this land was not part of Eretz Yisrael and they were commanded not to conquer outside of the land before Eretz Yisrael, what he did here was acceptable. The Mishpatzos Zohov explains that since the land of Sichon and Og were the head of the spiritual impurity, head denoting a leading higher level of spiritual impurity. Therefore, the head of Kedusha, holiness, Moshe, was the one who gave that land over to the Bnei Yisrael. Because the principle is that every limb in holiness subjugates, overpowers, and strikes its corresponding limb in the system of spiritual impurity. Therefore, Eretz Kana'an, which was the body, not the head, the body of spiritual impurity, was overpowered through Yehoshua, the body of Kedusha. And Hashem ranked the area on the other side of the Yarden, on the eastern side of the Yarden, outside of Eretz Yisrael, as the head of spiritual impurity. It was more deeply trenched in spiritual mire, in order that it be overpowered by Moshe, whose power was greater. The land that would require a higher level of holiness to combat it was on the side of the Yarden that would be defeated during Moshe's lifetime. Hashem placed the body of spiritual impurity lower than the head in Eretz Kana'an in order that it be overpowered by Yehoshua, whose power was weaker compared with that of Moshe. The head would be dealt with first, for there's no power in a body to strengthen itself and to stay standing when its head is detached from it. The body, the land of Kana'an, won't be able to stand once its head is severed, the land of Sichain and Oeg. It's in relation to this that Rachav says in chapter 2 of Yehoshua to the spies from the Bnei Yisrael when they come to scout out Yericho and the land before they enter to conquer it. V'chi nofla emaschem aleinu v'chi namoigu kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipneichem, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away because of you. Continues the Mishpat Zois Zohov, this reaction of the inhabitants is due to the Bnei Yisrael already having subdued Sichain and Oeg, who were the aspect of the head. And so Rachav continues when listing things they have heard about the Jewish people. Va'asher asisem lishnei malchei ha'emayri asher be'ever ha'yardin l'sichain ul'oeg asher hecheramtem oisom. And what you did to the two kings of the Emayri that were on the other side of the Yarden, Sichain and Oeg, whom you completely destroyed. The defeat of Sichain and Oeg paves the way for continued success in removing spiritual impurity from within the land of Kana'an itself. In Yehoshua chapter 12, verse 7, now begins the listing of kings defeated by Yehoshua after having detailed Moshe's conquest. And these are the kings of the land whom Yehoshua and the children of Yisrael smote. Be'ever ha'yardin yomo, on this side of the Yarden, on the west. Miba'al Gad bevik as ha'levanayin, from Ba'al Gad in the valley of Levanayin. Va'ad ha'har hechalak ha'eilesh se'ira, to the smooth divided mountain that goes up to Seir. Va'yitna Yehoshua l'shifte Yisrael Yerusha kamach l'koysom. And Yehoshua gave it to the tribes of Yisrael for an inheritance according to their divisions. Verse 8, in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the falls and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Chiti and the Emayri, the Chiti, the Emayri and the Kana'ani, the Perizi, the Chivi and the Yavusi. The Mincha Katana points to a difference in the verses when stating who Moshe had defeated and who Yehoshua had defeated. With Moshe, it says, Ve'ele malchi ha'aretz asher hiku v'nei Yisrael. These are the kings of the land whom the Bnei Yisrael smote. Moshe is not mentioned. With Yehoshua, it says, these are the kings asher hika Yehoshua u'v'nei Yisrael, whom Yehoshua and the children of Yisrael smote. Because by the conquest of Moshe, he himself didn't benefit from it, in the sense that he didn't inherit from it, so he's not mentioned. Everything that he did was just for the Bnei Yisrael, not for personal benefit. The Bnei Yisrael smote it, meaning the inheritance was coming to them only. Later, Moshe is mentioned in the defeat. He is honored. But here, at this point, there is an emphasis on his work being solely for the Bnei Yisrael. Yehoshua did also inherit land. He does also benefit from the conquest. From verse 9 onwards in this chapter, we have a list of 31 kings defeated by Yehoshua. Radak teaches that each of these 31 kings that is mentioned was not a king over one city alone. Rather, each city that is mentioned was the head of his kingdom, and he was ruler over other cities and villages. The way the list is formatted follows a repeating pattern of saying Echod, one, after each king. Melech Yericho, Echod, the king of Yericho, one. Melech Ha'ai, Asher Mitzad Beis El, Echod, the king of Ai, that is beside Beis El, one. Melech Yerushalayim, Echod, the king of Yerushalayim, one. Melech Chevroin, Echod, the king of Chevroin, one, etc. The Mishpatzois Zohov brings an insight from the Lev Aharon that the intention here is to aggrandize the kings to show their might and the power of their influence. This is the reason it says the word one with each king, to mean that every one of them was one for himself, not dependent on someone else. It's not that they're all connected and if you beat one, you beat them all. Rather, each one of them is a power in himself. And this emphasizes what a wonder, what a tremendous outcome it was each time another one of these kings was conquered by Yehoshua. The magnitude of the string of defeats is emphasized. These kings mentioned ruled over other kingdoms, but they were not considered an important king if they did not have a portion in the land of Yisrael. As the Chaimas Anach explains, Melech Yericho Echod, the king of Yericho, one. Yericho is a city. You don't usually call the ruler of a city a king, maybe a duke, a minister. So it says, for example, Melech Yericho Echod, the king of Yericho, one, meaning he is a great king ruling over many states, but he is called the king of Yericho, or whichever other city is listed in this list of 31 kings, because he's only considered important by virtue of the fact that he has one city in the land of Canaan. The chapter ends after the list of kings saying at the end of verse 24, Kol Malachim Shloshim Ve'echod, all the kings, 31. Thank you for studying together, L'Eloi Nishmas, Frida Bas Moshe Eliyahu.